Let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. We want to deal with verses 1 through 6. And I've entitled this Christ Jesus to the church at Sardis. In the seven letters to the seven churches in the book of the Revelation, you will find spiritual truth concerning those churches in that day. And those same spiritual truths are relevant to the church in this day. Notice I said to the church in this day, not every religious organization. There are many religious organizations in the world today that do not represent the church. They're not part of the church. The church is the body of Christ on earth today. The church is, of course, the bride of Christ. The church is comprised of those who have been born again, purchased by the blood of Christ Jesus. Now, this letter to the church in Smyrna is in the text before us, and so we're going to begin with Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. Now, remember as we go into this that John is on the Isle of Patmos. He's been exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and it is there while he is on the Isle of Patmos that, and he's there for preaching. The government of Rome had placed him there for having preached and refusing to quit preaching. So now we get into this letter to the church of Smyrna, beginning with Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis, write these things, says he, who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you're alive, but you're dead. The seven spirits of God? If I were to ask you to name the seven spirits of God, could you do so? I don't know if I could have done it right off the top of my head going into this, but in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 2 and 3, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, speaking of Jesus, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That is the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, of might or knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He's addressing, now let me remind you once again, as we look at the counsel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the seven churches, in each of these seven churches, there are those things for the most part to be commended, and there are those things that must not be commended. And may I say to you that we will find in the church of today much of that which Christ commended in the letter to the churches in the book of the Revelation. We will find similar problems, those things for which he can bless us, and those things for which he can say we need correction. He goes on now in verse 1 of Revelation chapter 3. I know your works, that you have a name, that you're alive, but you're dead. Remember, he's talking to the pastor. Pastor. He says you have a reputation, that you're alive, but dead. To how many expressions of ministry today, in this day in which we live, could Christ Jesus be making that statement? That you have this reputation that you're alive, but realistically, spiritually, you're dead. You have a lot of activity, a lot of motion, a lot of attendance. You have people, you have programs, you have all these expressions of activity, and it's all religious activity, but spiritually you are dead. To how many churches could that be applied today in this nation in which we live? You know, Spurgeon made this comment, "How beautiful may a fruit appear from the outside and yet be rotten within. An apple or piece of fruit may look so good from the outside until you put the knife to it. You open it up, and then you find out that the inside is rotten, unusable. It is of no value, whatever." How many expressions of life in the religious life of the nation? Notice I said religious life of the nation. In how many expressions of the religious life of this nation and the nations of the world is that evident? How many, to how many can that be applied? That on the outside, they appear to be so strong and so prosperous and so moving in the kingdom of God, and yet dead. You see, the number in the congregation does not mean there is spiritual life. Listen to me carefully. Numbers in the congregation does not mean that there is spiritual life. Income. You may have, it may be a ministry or an expression of ministry or an organization with a tremendous budget. But budget, income, does not mean that there is spiritual life. I mean bars, taverns, nightclubs, any number of secular entities have income, have great income, much income, but that does not mean that there is any spiritual life there. Now, folks, I realize this is tough. I understand this is tough, but I'm declaring what I feel like the Lord has revealed to me. I'm going to preach it the way the Lord gave it to me. So you understand this. The budget, the income, does not mean that the entity is a spiritual entity. It may be a religious entity, but it's not necessarily a spiritual entity. Involvement does not mean that there is spiritual life. Just because an organization, a religious organization, has program after program after program, and they're involved in this and that and the other, but all of that involvement does not mean that there is spiritual life. Involvement by the individuals involved in that expression of ministry, involvement does not mean that there is spiritual life. Let me say that to you again. Involvement in that which is in that religious life and which is regarded as spiritual activity does not mean that there is spiritual life there. Folks, so many times we have an organization, and it's nothing more than a religious organization. And I know when I say this, I am speaking to people who are, many of you are involved in religious organizations. And so far as you are concerned, you are right with God. And the organization with which you are a member is right with God. When the truth of the matter is, when you look at what the Word of God says, when you look at the requirements to be made right with God, you must be born again. You as an individual have to be born again. And that's a lot more than baptism. That's a lot more than religious activity. That's a lot more than church life. That's a lot more. It means one-on-one with Jesus Christ. It means that you as an individual have gone to Christ Jesus saying, "Jesus, I'm a sinner. I have sinned. I am sinning. I am a sinner. And I want to be born again. I want to be a new creation. I want to be adopted into the family of God. I want to be made a believer priest." All of that's involved. Now remember, he is speaking to the pastor. In this letter, as in the other letters, he is speaking to the pastor of the local church. And this local church is in Smyrna. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 2. "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God." Be watchful. He's really saying, be sensitive, preacher, pastor. Be sensitive to my spirit. Be watchful. strengthen the things which remain. So much of what you are doing and so much of what you are involved in is meaningless. It has no power. It has no anointing. It's not Spirit of God anointed. It's not Spirit of God enabled. It is not Spirit of God empowered. It was not birthed in the Spirit. It is the activity of men, mankind. You're involved with works. Observe that which I am blessing, he's saying to the pastor. There is a little expression of the ministry over which you are presiding. There is a little expression of that ministry that is bearing some fruit. Observe that which is bearing the fruit, because it is that which is bearing the fruit, and there's very little of it, preacher. There's very little of it. There's very little truthful spiritual fruit in the expression of ministry that you head up. Understand that. There is very limited fruit. So, preacher, you need to take note of what I'm blessing. Take note of the fruit that is in the ministry, that which I am blessing. That which was limited in the fellowship and the ministry of that ministry. There was some fruit there, but there wasn't a lot of fruit. Let me ask you this. How much fruit is the ministry that you are involved in? What is the fruit? And how much fruit is there? In this ministry, it was limited. The fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. Notice what we're saying. Not the fruit of a religious movement, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God was limited in the fellowship and in the ministry. Now, how many organizations, of how many religious organizations is that true today? But then by the same token, there are some churches that are actually really churches. And yet, so much of the religious activity in that religious organization, even in that church, is not breathed on by the Spirit, was not activated by the Spirit. It is not producing anything for the kingdom of God. It's just religious activity. So he says to them, observe that which I am blessing. Look at the fruit of the ministry, the real spiritual fruit of the ministry, that which I am breathing on, that which I am enabling, that which I am empowering, as well as that which I am not blessing. Take a look at all of your activity. How much of it is just going through the motions? Just going through the motions of activity, but lacking in true spiritual fruit. You have to understand this. Numbers do not necessarily mean fruit. Numbers in the expression of the ministry or the church does not necessarily mean fruit. Fruit is an increase in Christ's likeness to begin with. In each and every individual within that ministry, if it's a ministry, not an organization, not a religious organization, this was a ministry. This church was failing in so many ways, but there was a little life left in it. There was some life left in it. But you have to understand, it begins with the individual, and it starts in the pulpit. It starts in the pulpit. Fruit is an increase in Christ's likeness. Before we get to talking about the fruit of the ministry itself, let's talk about the fruit in the lives of those who are ministering within that ministry. Fruit is an increase in Christ's likeness. To what degree is the leadership, to what degree is the membership of that religious activity becoming increasingly more Christ-like? You have to understand this. Religious activity does not mean that there is spiritual life. Did you hear me? Being involved in any amount of religious activity does not mean that there is spiritual life. Religious programs do not equal spiritual life. Spirit involvement. Just because a organization that is called a church is involved in religious activity or spiritual activity does not mean there is spiritual life there. Religious programs do not equal spiritual life. Spirit involvement. We have whole organizations that call themselves church, and they meet on Sunday morning, perhaps Sunday night during the week, and they refer to themselves as church. They call themselves a church, but there's nothing of the life of God. There's nothing of the life of Christ. There's nothing of the involvement of the Holy Spirit of God. Folks, this is reality. And Jesus is talking to the pastor of churches in the book of the Revelation, in the seven letters to the seven churches. He is talking to the pastors. Why? Because they are accountable and they are responsible for the spiritual welfare of the church that over which they are pastoring. You see, we have in the nations of the world whole religious movements. Now listen to me carefully. In the nations of the world, we have religious movements, and they are rooted in deep spiritual deception. Did you hear me? Yes, we have complete religious movements that have been around for centuries. Centuries. And yet, they're rooted in spiritual deception. The life of God, the life of Jesus, the enablement, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God is not involved. It's all ritualistic. It's a ritual. It's a religious ritual. And the people involved in that religious ritual are simply going through the motions of that religious ritual and depending on that religious ritual to make them somewhat acceptable to God. It won't do it. You've got to be born again. You've got to come to that point in time in your life when you recognize I am a sinner. I deserve hell. And in the condition I'm in right now, if I die in this condition, I will go to hell. And then you need to get on your face, get on your knees before God and confess, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm religious. I'm going through religious activity, but I'm not spiritual. I'm not moving in spiritual activity. I'm involved in the religious activity of this religious organization of which I'm a member, but I've never been born again. I have not become a new creation. I am not continually becoming more Christ-like with every day of my life. I am not continually becoming more Christ-like. So Jesus goes on, speaking to this pastor. He says, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Strengthen the things. Let's go back to verse 2 again now. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Strengthen the things that are ready to die. Repent. That's what he's saying. He's saying, repent and strengthen that which is about to die. Now understand, he's talking to a church here. He is talking to the pastor of a church that had been planted in Sardis. And the church, though, over process of time, has compromised and compromised and compromised and has embraced so much that is ungodly. And the fires of fervency have gone out. The fires of fervency are no longer burning. The Spirit of God is not moving. There's no advancement in the kingdom of God. There's no damage to the kingdom of darkness. And Christ Jesus, you see, the church is the bride of Christ. And I have told you how many times Christ is not coming back for a whore bride. Listen to me carefully. I'm not being excited. I'm not being exercised. I'm saying this as pragmatically to you as I can possibly say it. Why? Because I recognize that so much of the church in this nation and so much of the church in the nations of the world is in trouble through complacency, through compromise, through backsliding, making the same mistakes that we find in this church, making the same mistakes that we've found in the other churches in the book of the Revelation. Strengthen, Jesus says, Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. He says you've got a little bit there yet that has not yet died, but it's ready to die. Pastor, you better wake up. Pastor, you better wake up. You better take note. You better take inventory. You better look, take a long, hard look at this expression of ministry. And you'd better be careful to examine it very carefully and understand that which is of God, that which is spirit anointed, spirit enabled, spirit empowered, and that which is being done in the flesh. Repent, he says. Repent and strengthen that which is about to die. Repentance is the key. Do you realize that, child of God? If you're a child of God. If you're not a child of God, repentance is the way you become a child of God. Confess you're a sinner, receive Christ as your Savior. Not a system of religion. No system of religion can get you into glory. Let me say that as clearly and unmistakably as I can say it. A system of religion will not get you accepted into heaven. No. You must be born again. You must be adopted into the family of God. You must be cleansed by the blood of Christ. Holy water won't get it done. The blood of Jesus. It is the blood of Christ that cleanses us from our sins. It is the indwelling, enablement, empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God that enables us and empowers us day by day to live a godly, holy, separated life, saying yes to God and no to the devil. And repentance. Repentance is the key. That's where you start. And incidentally, for whatever it's worth to you, as a believer priest, I've got to live a life of repentance. Why? Because I constantly sin. One way or the other, so do you. Your thought life, you don't take every thought captive. You have reactions. You have responses. You have emotions that are unchristlike. You act in ways that are unchristlike. You think things that are unchristlike. You're involved in things that are unchristlike. And in your own private little world, the Word of God says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's the Word of God. 1 John chapter 1. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Well, I've got to acknowledge, yes, there are certain sins in my life, an attitude, a response, a reaction, whatever it may be. I can recognize that. I can acknowledge that and I can confess that as sin. But how many times a day do I sin without even really consciously realizing I have sinned? Which is why I need to go before the throne of the Father and ask the Holy Spirit of God to quicken me, make me sensitive to those thoughts, those responses, those reactions, those attitudes, whatever it may be that finds access to my life that is contrary to the Word of God, contrary to the character of Christ, and I need to acknowledge those things, confess those things as sin, and gain the victory. Repentance. Repentance is the key to walk in spiritual victory, spiritual life, victory. Repentance is the key. Individually, we need to repent individually. And then we as a nation need to repent. There are whole churches that need to repent. Folks, hear me. Repentance is the key, individually and otherwise. Jesus goes on speaking to the church. He says, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Pastor, listen to what he's saying. Listen to me. He's saying, Pastor, I have examined your work, your ministry, and found it wanting. I have examined your work, preacher. Pastor, I've examined your work. I've looked at your ministry. I've examined your ministry and found it wanting. When I got to that section and that truth in this message, I had to stop and prayerfully look at challenge. Yes, we have our Sunday morning service. Yes, our Wednesday evening Bible study is done by Pastor Gene on Wednesday evening. And then the Sunday evening, I do the Sunday evening service to post. Our congregation is so dispersed, it would be almost impossible to bring them together three times a week. We do it by radio, and we do it by the internet. Now, concerts of prayer. We got the Sunday morning service where we come together, yes. Sunday evening is done by internet. Wednesday evening is done by internet. And then the concerts of prayer that we do once a month. Then we have our FBI discipleship ministry, in which we try to disciple people. It's open to people in our radio congregation. Our Florida Bible Institute, I wrote the material. Years ago, the Lord laid it on my heart to write this material, this discipleship material, because we have so many people sitting in churches who have never really become a disciple. A follower? To some degree, yes. A disciple? No. Why? A disciple is one who's becoming like the one he's following. And we have so many people who claim Christ as Lord, claim Christ as Savior, but they're not continually becoming more Christ-like. As Billy Graham said, if Christ were to return today, in Billy Graham's opinion, before he died, he said 85% of the church is without Christ. In his opinion, 85% of the people sitting in churches are without Christ. Are you sitting in church without Christ? Let me ask you this. If your heart were to stop beating in the next 45 seconds, would you go to glory? Are you sure of that? Have you made sure of that? Have you been before the throne of God saying, I'm a sinner? I'm confessing I'm a sinner. I want to be born again. Holy Spirit of God, enable me, empower me to believe, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm not going to depend on some system of religious activity. I'm not going to depend on some religious organization. I've got to have one-on-one with you, Father. And I can only have that one-on-one with you, Father, as I am born again, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, enabled by the Holy Spirit of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. That is the only way under heaven that you can have relationship with God. You've got to be enabled, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And you will not be enabled and empowered until you're indwelt. You have to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit in order to be enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And if you are not indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you want a heartbeat from hell. That's hard. But death can be hard. Hell is hard. On our radio ministry, I'm simply trying to help people understand it's not enough to be religious. It's not enough to be involved in religious activity. One must be born again, adopted into the family of God, become a child of God, indwelt by the Spirit of God, enabled, empowered by the Spirit of God to live a godly, holy, separated life. Our church planting ministry in the Philippines, we're taking the gospel into places where they had never even seen a white man before. We're taking the gospel into places where the gospel had never been heard before. But understand this. It's got to be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. It has to be done as enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Then each member of each church is involved. Each expression of ministry. Every member in that ministry is answerable to God for their involvement in the kingdom of God or the lack of involvement in the kingdom of God. Listen, when you were born again and adopted into the family of God and made a believer priest, you were indwelt, empowered, enabled by the Holy Spirit of God to live a godly, holy, separated life. It is the indwelling Holy Spirit of God that enables you and empowers you to be the salt, the preservative in the society in which God has placed you, to be the light, to take light into darkness every day of the world. Because, my friend, trust me, where you work, you may be the only light in that place. You may be the only light in that place where you work. And you may be the only light, many times, you may be the only light in the family of which you are a member. Is that light shining? You see, there are things you can be a part of, and there are things you cannot be a part of. There are things you can participate in. There are things you cannot participate in. you, as a child of God, if you are born again, you have liberty and freedom in Christ, but you have some restrictions. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus goes on, "Remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you." Received. Remember therefore how you have received and heard. Received what? The Holy Spirit. You see, once you're born again, you receive the Holy Spirit. You receive eternal life. You receive citizenship in the kingdom of God, in the family of God. Remember therefore how you have received. Remember what you have received, who you are, what you are, and heard. Remember what you heard, the gospel, the means of salvation, not some false system of religion, not some religious system. No, you've heard the plan of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the meaning of salvation, what it really means to be born again, what it really means to be reconciled to a holy God, what it really means to hold fast to that which you have been blessed, hold fast to that which Christ has imparted to you. Once again now, remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Repent. What is repentance? Repent. Acknowledge your loss of first love. Repentance is acknowledging my sin. I've got to acknowledge that I have sinned before I can repent. I have got to acknowledge the way in which I have sinned. What did I do that was sin? What did I say that was sin? Which of my attitudes is sin? Which of my responses and reactions in life are sin? I've got to acknowledge that. I have to acknowledge that that is sin. So you acknowledge your loss of first love. How prevalent is that in the church today? How many am I talking to today that you have lost your first love? You have lost something of your loyalty. You have lost something of your devotion. You have lost something of your first love. Jesus says, repent. Repent. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Now we come to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4. You have a few names, even in Sardis. Notice this, a big city. You have a few names in all that population. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He says, you have a few names. You have a few names, even in Sardis, in the midst of all the filth and the ugliness and the darkness and the deception and the spiritual wickedness and the idolatry and the immorality. You still have a few names. May not be many. It's just a few. You have a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. A few names, a remnant. That's what he's saying. He's saying you have a remnant, a minority who have not stained their robes of righteousness with unconfessed sins. You see, every unconfessed sin in your life is a stain on the garment of righteousness. And that is why day by day you recognize the sin that's in the life, in that reaction, that response, that thought life, that attitude, whatever it may be, and you go before the throne of God and you confess it as sin. Have they sinned? Yes. Yes, these people had sinned. That remnant had sinned, but they had acknowledged their sin. Look at it again. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. You have a few names, even in Sardis. Notice that. Even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They sinned, yes, because if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So they were sinning, but they were recognizing their sin. Yes, they had sinned, but they confessed that sin. And you see, when you confess that sin, it is as though you never committed that sin because God forgets it. I can't forget it. You can't forget it. God forgets it. Had they sinned? Yes, they had sinned. But they acknowledged their sin, and they confessed their sin, and they received forgiveness. Therefore, and thereby, removing the stain of their sin. Sin stains. Sin stains. And it is through the confession of sin that we receive cleansing. We receive forgiveness. We receive cleansing. And the stain of that sin is removed. Now we come to verse 5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. We can only overcome, folks, listen to me. We can only overcome as we are enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Once we are born again, when we are born again, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. When we receive Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, at that time, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. When we are spiritually born again, we become new creations in Christ Jesus. Did you hear me? When we are spiritually born again, we become new creations in Christ Jesus. And at that time, our name is recorded in the book of life. The moment you come to Christ and are born again, your name is recorded in the book of life in glory. And Christ Jesus then confesses us to his Father. This one has received me, Father. This one has believed. This one has received. They're not putting their faith in a system of religion. They're not putting their faith in another individual. They're not putting their faith in Mary, my mother. They're not putting their faith in Peter, an apostle. They're not putting their faith in any individual. They're putting their faith in me, Christ Jesus, the Savior, the Son of God. Christ Jesus confesses us as his own to the Father. And again, we are then indwelt. Hear me carefully as I wrap this up. We are then indwelt, enabled, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. If you've been born again, you're enabled by the Holy Spirit. You're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Once you're born again, the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in your spirit. So then you can be enabled and empowered. So there's really no excuse for sin, is there? Oh, we're going to sin because we'll do it before we catch ourselves. We'll do it before we think. We'll do it before we heed that check in the spirit. But, praise God, when I have sinned and I recognize I have sinned, I simply admit I have sinned, confess that sin, it's forgiven. God forgets it. I can't always forget it, but he forgets it. Now listen carefully and thoughtfully to what you've heard because it's significant. Listen carefully to everything you've heard in this message. Why? It is significant, and it is of the utmost importance. The church of today is on notice. The bride of Christ of today is on notice. Christ found the strength in those churches in the book of the Revelation, but he found their weaknesses, and he's doing the same thing today with the churches in the nations of the world. He's doing the same thing today in this nation. And folks, we need to understand that. We need to understand that Christ Jesus is looking carefully at his bride. and the church is the bride of Christ. Oh, people of God, listen to me. He's not coming back for a whore bride. He's not coming back for a bride in bed with the world. So what's it going to take? In your mind, what is it going to take to get the bride of Christ out of bed with the world? What do you think? Let me give you a suggestion. Get into the book of the Revelation. Get into 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Get into Matthew chapter 24. Start looking at the end times. And start looking at what really has to occur before Christ returns. Before Christ returns. Take heed to what is yet on the horizon of the nations of the world. Heavenly Father, I deliver to you that which I have delivered to them. Holy Spirit of God, I'm asking you to use this message to quicken, to alert, and Father God, to warn, to strengthen, to equip, and to encourage. I'm asking you to take this message, Holy Spirit, and use it where it is needed, as it is needed, to advance the kingdom of God in the lives of individuals and in the life of this nation, in the life of the church, and the life of the nations of the world. And Father, if you'll do this, we'll be ever so careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.